Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have completed discussion on chapter 1, Arjuna Vishada Yoga, in which we have seen our conditions in this world. Arjuna Vishada Yoga represents our life, where we are trained all of our life for something. We have certain ideals and certain duties which we have held very dear to us. This is the very goal of my life. But then sometimes the situation overwhelms us, which makes us confused about what is right and what is wrong. And at that point, our mind starts giving us wrong indications of what is right and what is wrong. And we come up with all kinds of arguments about why I shouldn't be doing my duty, why I shouldn't be doing what I thought all this time that this is right for me. And this argument sometimes are so convincing that we convince ourselves and saying that is the voice of my antaratma. However, it is just a blabbering of my mind because I have not really established myself into my own self. So this is not the advice from the Krishna, the consciousness in me, but my mind coming up with very defensive mechanism is why I shouldn't be doing this, just because I'm overwhelmed by the situation. So we have seen in the last few verses of chapter 1, Arjuna put forth a very brilliant argument about why he shouldn't be fighting this war. First he says, from my personal point of view, I shouldn't be fighting this war to kill my own kith and kin. Looks very logical. Why should you be killing your kith and kin? When that argument didn't seem like convincing Krishna, because he didn't have an approving reaction, he realized because those kith and kin are standing right in front of you to kill you. So that didn't seem like a very logical argument. So he goes to a next level and said, the war itself is very evil. Any war is evil, because in war the man will die. Many men will die, which is obvious in any war. The man will die, and therefore it will upset the entire society, entire the equilibrium of the society by destroying the family units. When a man dies in the family, obviously the family loses the head of the household. Now the women will be unprotected. And when the women becomes unprotected, they obviously will do something which is not according to their dharma, because they have no protection. And when that happens, the whole system will be out of kilter, because they may do things which is out of line, where they'll give a rise to a Varnasankar, the next generation. And that will completely upset our system, where the lineage of a father to the son in the same tradition will be giving oblation to the Pitrus. So the whole system will be completely destroyed, according to Arjuna. Again, this makes a lot of sense. The war is evil. Everyone knows war is not something which is to look forward to. But war is inevitable sometimes to protect the society, protect the dharma. So here Arjuna makes all the arguments which he thinks he can make against fighting this war. And then he sits down in his chariot in the last verse, which we have seen Sanjaya describe. Then after making his argument, he didn't see any reaction from Krishna, but he drops down and throws the weapons away. That means he does not even have a mental capacity to hang on to himself. So the next chapter, which we are entering into, called Sankhya Yoga, the yoga of knowledge. Yoga of knowledge in the line of the knowledge of the Sankhyas. And as Swamiji describes in the commentary, that we have in our system, there are six schools of thoughts, with six different lines of philosophy, where each one takes a very slightly different route from each other. And Sankhya is one of them. The Sankhya is supposed to be the most logical thought, almost more as scientific as the modern sciences. It's a very logical approach to what is reality, what is truth, what is my essence, and what is the ultimate reality. It takes a very logical approach. And as we have seen in Logic of Spirituality, it takes you through who am I and what is myself. Then where did I come from? Where we have seen anything which we see is an effect of a cause. When I see a book here, it's an effect. The cause is somebody who knew how to write the book, how to print the book, and how to put it together so the book is in front of me. So there are causes to cause any reality. I exist, I'm an effect. There are causes which cause me to be in this effect. Those causes are broadly defined as an efficient cause and a material cause. Someone who knew how to create me in this effect, and someone also had the material to create me. Someone who knew how to create this book, and someone also had the material to create this book. So the knowledge is called efficient cause, and the material is called material cause. These two has to come together for any effect to come into existence. And we can trace back all of that, and who had this efficient cause and material cause, both of them, to create this universe and me. And we trace it back to one entity who had the knowledge to create this universe, so I become part of it, and also had the material to create that universe. So the efficient cause we call God. And the God has the knowledge to create this universe, including my own self. He also had the material to create this universe and myself. So where did that material come from? And in the end of our inquiry, we come to the conclusion the material could not have come from anywhere else, but from his own self. Because there was nothing else existed before this universe was created but that one singularity, which we call God. And that God had the knowledge, and the only material available to him was his own self. So out of his own self is created this universe. So my own self also cannot have come other than from his own self. So myself and his self is one and the same. Myself is nothing but the reflection of his self. Thus logically concluding that myself cannot be separate from his self. Because his self is immortal, imperishable, myself also cannot be perishable or mortal. That is the philosophy of Sankhya, or the Sankhya philosophy. Now, obviously, the Sankhya philosophy here is not verbatim put together, but in its flavor and essence was taken here by Bhagavan Vedavyas, also called Badarayana, in the Uttar Mimamsa school of thought, which is theistic theism, as Swamiji says, which accept the reality of the one eternal self called Brahman, and also accept the reality of this world and its relationship. Thus we will be seeing in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 2 onward, the synthesis of all the three paths of realization explained in Vedas, which is the Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. Bhagavad Gita puts all these three yogas together as a comprehensive path of realization, It's a pravrittivad that you have to actively engage in this world, then achieve the ultimate happiness which you are seeking, with the freedom from all these bondages of limitations which are superimposed on myself. So in the second chapter, we'll be learning that. The second chapter opens with the Sanjaya's assessment of what's happening there. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, Sanjaya Vacha, Tam Tatha Krupaya Vistam Asrupurna Kulekshanam Vishidantam Idam Vakyam Uvacha Madhusudana. Madhusudana Krishna. And we have seen the Madhusudana, one who is the slayer of the demon Madhu. Obviously, in the Puranic story, all these demons who Krishna has slayed. But also, kind of philosophically, you say demon Madhu is that which seems very sweet to me in life, but it is not good for me. That which is prayas but not srayas. That which is seems good for me, but is not good for me. Madhusudana is the slayer of that. When my intellect is awakened to that, I realize this may seem good to me, but not good to me. So that Madhusudana, Lord Krishna, said this to the one who was completely overwhelmed by this pity and despondency. That is, he's overwhelmed by this grief, with his eyes full of tears and agitated. Bhagwan said this. First reaction of what Arjuna presented his case of why he shouldn't be fighting. He was obviously expecting that you are right, well, let's not fight this war. But the reaction came in next two verses is completely shocking to Arjuna. The Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the second verse. First time Bhagavan speaks in this Gita. Kutatva kasmalam idam vishame samupasthitam anarya jistam aswargyam akirtikaram Arjuna. O Arjuna, where does this weakness of heart comes upon you? Which is anarya jistam, only practiced by those who are not civilized like you. Because Arya is the civilized one, anarya is the uncivilized one according to their social order. One who is not civilized, who does not know the value of dharma, value of performing his own duties. Once a duty is assigned to me, I have assigned myself as taking upon that role, then it becomes imperative that I perform that duty. Once I decide that I want to be a husband, all the duties of husbands are now superimposed on my, and I, as long as I want to be a husband, I have to perform all those duties. That's the civilized man's law. Once I decide I want to be a father, all the fatherly duties are assigned to me, and there is no escape for me to perform those duties. That's a civilized way of living. So once I have decided I'm going to be the general of this army, the leader of this society, then all the duties assigned to me as the leader of this army and leader of this society, I have to perform those duties. Now when I'm trying to shirk away from those duties, that is anarya jistam. Only those who are not civilized will do that. They will be those deadbeat dads. They are not civilized. They do not know that their duty is to pay whatever the alimony for their children. So only the uncivilized one will do that. So Bhagavan said, where does this anarya jistam, weakness of your heart, which is not allowing you to do your duty, come upon you, which is akirtikaram, is not going to give you a good name. You may have all the good arguments to not do your duties, but once you don't do your duties, it's not going to give you a good name, not going to make you famous that how he ran away from his duties, you know. And this is because of the weakness of your heart. When you were thinking correctly, you knew what your duty is because you are the leader of this army and you knew what to do. is to fight the enemy which is standing in front of you. You have not asked for this war. You didn't decide that this is the right thing to do. But the others in their evil thoughts have decided to fight this war. Now it is your duty to lead your army into this war. So this is not something Krishna says, I approve to running away from your duty. And therefore, here is what I prescribe to you. So next verse he says, this is what you should be doing. Uttishta Parantapa, get up, O Parantapa, which is another Arjuna's name, a scorcher of the foes. Reminding him that your enemies will be afraid of you. Your training and your achievement in life is your enemies can stand in front of you. They're afraid. You're the scorcher of your foes. Klebhyam masma gamaha. Do not give up to this importance of your heart. Partha, na etat tvaya upapadyate. That is not appropriate for you. You are not trained to do this, giving up to such weakness of your heart. Kshudram hrudaya darubalyam, where your heart is giving up, is weakened. With heart means your thoughts, your inner strength is giving up. So don't give up, don't yield to this weakness of your heart. It is the weakness of your emotions. A person only breaks down when he is emotionally broken down. A judge in his chair can, without any partiality, can give a judgment whether this is right or wrong, as long as he's not emotionally involved in that decision. Once he's emotionally involved, that his son is standing in front of him as a criminal, he gives up and can't take a right decision. So, kshudram hrudaya darbalyam, by overwhelmed by your emotions of pity, that you come to this conclusion which is wrong. Don't yield to that weakness of your heart. And therefore, uttishta, get up and do your duty.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.